Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, our assignment from yesterday. The whole suffering process is set up to keep the karma in place. I have to meet certain standards that fix or change me, that make me better, the way I should be in order to be acceptable, lovable. Yet meeting those standards don't get me the approval or acceptance or love that I have assumed I will receive if I meet the standards. This whole orientation misses the point. What we're being conned into believing is that our goodness is conditional. It assumes nature is dependent upon performance. So attention is taken away from our authentic nature and to an ego-maintaining dualistic conversation that causes us to believe our acceptance is conditional. Your assignment. Record what is true about you, the internalization of which would enable you not to fall for and be tortured by the self-hate conversation. Listen to and add to this recording as you get clearer about what is true about you.
Lovely. Ashwini?
Yes.
You're a little going in and out for me, a little fadey under the water. So I don't know if it's earbuds or what it might be. But
I'll try something different.
FYI. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Celia in Seattle.
Good morning, Celia. What are you seeing?
Well, you were speaking to someone a couple of days ago and said, I suggest that you look at this possible subpersonality as not a subpersonality, but as egocentric karmic conditioning. And when you said that, I went, oh, my gosh. I've been looking at a relationship with my husband where I offer things to him all the time. And in particular, this goes on around trips that we might take together. And they end up being not...
Like suggestions, mm-hmm. You mean? You're offering him suggestions,
yes,
or
ideas?
Oh,
well, we could do this. We could do that. And then he grabs onto it and takes the reins and goes full speed ahead. And so I end up actually not having a very good time. And so I've been looking at this, and I don't know how to connect with what I thought the egocentric kind of conditioning, but what I saw was the structure that sort of goads me in testing things just trips, but it trips is a bit.
Hang on a second, Celia. Hang on just. Ashwini, are you having trouble hearing?
Yes. Celia, you're going in and out, just strobing a little bit.
Oh, dear. Okay, I'm going to walk. And as I walk, I'm going to talk. Okay. So please tell me if I get better.
Yes.
Am I getting better?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Way better. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, wonderful.
So now, wait, let's go back to, so you don't have a very good time when this process happens.
Right.
And so you've been looking at, start us up there.
Okay. So who is it that feels the need to make these suggestions? And I was thinking it was some poor little sub-personality who is just trying to keep everybody happy. And that may be part of it, but it also, I started seeing this, it's like I feel like I'm being goaded with a cattle prod.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute, and this is going on in every I can see it everywhere, you know. Well, how about a movie? Well, how about a book? Well, how about eating? It goes down to that level too. So, yeah. So, it's
how about get out of the moment? How about get out of the present? How about attend to something other than this here now? Is that kind of what you're expecting?
Yes. And seeing it in this huge situation that's caused terrible suffering for both of us, and then down to the very smallest little, how about a cup of coffee? So that's a big one. I've been watching very
carefully. It is a big one. It is a big one, Cecilia. It's a big one for everybody. That is a major how suffering happens. Because what you're really seeing, what you're getting a sense of, is, you know, the way we talk about it, the authentic human being who's just simply alive. Right? Just alive. And then here's ego. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, you could do that. Well, you could do that. Well, how about? And again, we can see how there's nothing going on except look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Right? So when we talk about distraction, you know, people think distraction is the movie or the book or the food that I don't actually want to eat even, but I am. But that's not it. That content is way down the line from the process that causes us to suffer, which is look at me, says ego. Look at me, says ego. Attend to me. Don't attend to life. Don't be present. Don't be where you are. Don't do that. Come over here. Let's think about this. Let's do this.
Yep. So the things that I actually want to do, I don't get to.
Yes. Yes. Because those happen in real life. Right? Not in a conversation in your head with an imaginary force.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, this is very helpful to see, isn't it?
It's very helpful. So I'm practicing when this voice comes up, and I was just painting in my studio, and every brush stroke, the voice goes, "Oh, remember, you've got the call coming. Oh, well, your husband's going to be saying." It's like I go, "No." No, and then there's a brush stroke, and then there's a no, and then there's a brush stroke, and then there's, it's like just split second, just split second.
Yeah, yeah. It takes me back, you're old enough to remember, I think, the famous Ram Dass, Be Here Now, the book that launched a generation into the possibility of practicing awareness, right? And that's it. That's the mantra, be here now. Be here now. Be here now. Because that's what you're doing, right? Painting. Brush stroke.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Brush stroke.
Yeah.
Anchoring the human being to the present.
Yeah.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Go happy.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Kenya.
So
the
good,
thing
isn't
I'm
it?
Seeing about, yeah.
Can you hear me, Sherry?
Yes, although again, you're kind of washy too. So, speak slowly.
Okay, here we go.
Go ahead.
That part of what is so deceptive about the conversation is that it sounds so helpful.
Yes, like he's taking care of me.
Right, and it is, but what I was watching about the specific example that Celia was offering is, it's always suggesting want, which is the absence of. Rather, so how about this, and how about this, and how about this? So even though it sounds helpful, the message is this moment isn't sufficient.
It's not enough, as we were looking at.
That's right. That there's a sense of there's something more here. There's something more you could be doing. Something else you could be doing.
Which feeds that illusion that life is not enough, and most important of all, I'm not enough. If I'm
that's
just
the moment
left,
of indecision.
If I'm just left here in this moment, it won't be enough.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I want to make it satisfying?
Yes.
Which is the, you know, the quick trip to dissatisfaction.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini and everyone. This is Kate from Australia calling from New York.
Calling from where?
New York.
New York. You're on a visit.
I am. I'm on a
lovely to hear your voice. How are you? Whoops. Did I leave or did Kate leave?
We lost Kate, so I'm going to keep looking for her in the queue when she calls back.
Okay. Wow. We don't have any trouble when she's in Australia, but New York.
Yeah.
Well, the technology fails us.
There's another Kate in my future. It might be the same Kate or a different Kate. Let me see if it's Kate from Australia calling from New York or Kate from Seattle. Hang on.
All right.
Hello?
Hi, this is another Kate from New York.
Oh, okay. Well, this Kate from New York.
We are rich with Kate.
This is amazing.
Well, how are you?
I'm doing
Kate from New York.
I'm doing great. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, what are you seeing?
So, one of the things I'm seeing is that when I'm talking to people or in a conversation with people, I get really absorbed in the conversation with them and totally lose consciousness of myself. And so at the beginning of this session, I noticed that and started honing in on that, and then I wanted to be in conversation with people and sort of keep some of my awareness on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't do it. It's really hard.
Well, Kate, if this is any consolation at all, okay, the progression in awareness practice is first we sit facing a blank wall, then we get up and walk in a circle around the room, right? And then we do working meditation. And the fourth, because it is by far the most challenging, is any kind of interaction with another human being. And that's what you're seeing very clearly. Yeah. Because human beings are the start of all of our problems. Right? I mean, there was a time when you were just fine. And then you realized there were human beings. I mean, you didn't know what they were, but I'm kidding about that, obviously.
Right.
Though not. But that is where it all began. That's how we started leaving ourselves originally and looking outward and looking to others. And yeah, it's tricky.
And when you say the word leaving, the words leaving ourselves, that's very accurate to the description.
Yes. For all intents and purposes, there's only one person in the conversation, right? And that's the other person, because what happened to Kate? We don't know. And very often, of course, you've probably noticed this, she's brought back in afterward when a voice in the head wants to critique her performance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And also, to the opposite of that, like the beginning of the conversation, I may have something inside me, that, you know, a desire to be very present for that person.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and to
yeah.
be a good listener. Mm-hmm. And then somehow in there, there's like that desire. I mean, would someone say that completely losing themselves in that conversation is a way of being a good listener? I don't think so, but there's a sense
yeah.
in which the voice that comes in after is like, well, wait a second, but you were totally with them. You were so in them with them, you didn't even think about yourself. So isn't that you being a good listener? You know, it wants to keep me sort of feeling mm-hmm. bad about it and wondering, like, what is true?
Yeah. Yeah. So, Kate, have you ever done the Reflective Listening Buddies program?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Well, I would strongly encourage it. I don't Ashwini
Sounds
knows,
great.
I'm sure when another one starts. But
mm-hmm.
but it what it teaches is the basic facilitation skill of reflecting someone when they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
It does two things that you really want. One, you have to listen to them. You have to really be there listening to them. And you're very aware of yourself in that process.
Mm.
So it's a way to expand the awareness to include not just them, but also you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really effective in keeping ego out of the whole interaction. Because it kind of takes everything we've got to stay focused on what somebody is saying in a way that enables us to reflect them.
Yeah, it just seems so counterintuitive in the sense that ego wants, like, that there's a way in which I want to be totally present with them, but really that's just ego sort of taking me over and making
yes.
me not present at all.
Yeah. Yes. And that's such an important thing to catch on to, because
mm-hmm.
when you're not there, you really don't know what happened.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know what happens, and most importantly, I don't know what happened to me.
Yes. Yes. And you only have ego's word for
mm.
everything. Which is
really yeah.
dangerous.
That's why it feels so fishy afterwards.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Like you've just been scammed, because you have.
Mm.
But the good news about it is you're paying attention, so you're seeing all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And the good news is there's probably a Reflective Listening Buddies thing happening soon.
I bet so. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So I'll be waiting with bated breath for that.
Okay. We'll let you know.
All right.
Thank you, Kate.
Thanks.
Go
Bye-bye.
Happy. Bye-bye.
You know, Sherry, I found the other Kate, so I'm just about to bring her on. But the important thing that some of us who are new to awareness practice forget is it's a practice of awareness. So it's not just paying attention, but there are two components of it. It's paying attention and paying attention to awareness, which is an
yeah.
expanding
yeah.
awareness. And that we've got two tools here, attention and awareness. And it's possible
mm-hmm.
to practice with both
mm-hmm.
because you could
mm-hmm.
be paying very close attention with a collapsed awareness. Or you can be paying very close attention with an expanded awareness, and they're actually different experiences.
Yes, and the one Kate wants is the second, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, she's having the collapsed awareness, which is how we get left out of it. And with that expanded
mm-hmm.
awareness that you're pointing to, then everybody's included. And most important, as I think you're pointing to, awareness is on attention is on awareness, and awareness is aware of attention, which is
yes.
really where we're going with awareness practice.
Especially if we want to stay present when we're interacting with someone else, and the thing that we've been talking about in terms of relationships throughout this month is not to leave ourselves when we're with another person.
Mm-hmm.
What does that really mm-hmm. mean? Don't let the attention rest on awareness throughout, and that's really what we're practicing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about this recently, quickly, because a synonym for awareness is the unconditional, and it is not too big a stretch to add love to that. So to be in awareness is a practice of being in unconditional love. So that's why the expanded awareness is so important, because then everyone is held in unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. And just for Kate, in terms of the reflective listening buddies quarter, Stan starts on July 15th, so registration closes July 1st, I believe. I might be wrong,
but
the quarter is between July 15th and October 15th.
So go to Living Compassion, go to schedule, and
I might have lost Kate again, but let me see.
Oh,
this might be her, so let me try it. Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
It's me.
She's
good.
And
that's
Kate
amazing. All of the technology, it's very skillful there.
So how are you? That was my question, and then there was dead silence.
Oh, well, I said that I'm very happy to be here, and it's taken me too long to call in. I can't believe that we are so far into this year-long retreat, and I think this is my first time calling in, and I'm just really excited to, I mean, I'm participating, I'm there, and it you know, brings awareness to how many people, for me, are participating that we never hear from, and how much appreciation for the people that we do get to hear from regularly. So it's really happy to
it's important,
be on the call.
Isn't it? That's what you're articulating for all of us. It's really important that people participate, because we're all counting on that.
Yeah.
So,
and I was also
happy
just in
here.
That discussion, as you guys were kind of articulating that expanded and collapsed awareness, really what dropped in for me is how reflective listening buddies really gives you the experience of both of those things and the movement between them in that regular experience of doing reflective listening. I could really see how I move from collapsed awareness to a more expanded awareness and back again. So that practice opportunity really, it was helpful for that to be articulated, because I could really see how that practice opportunity allows for that.
And when we see it in one context, it's more recognizable in others, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in the first caller, my mantra today, I just loved the back to the brushstroke and another brushstroke. It's just, and I have this little movement that I'm doing with my hand that will be my little, like, back to the breath. So, yeah, just getting a lot out of that.
Good.
So, what I am seeing with relationships right now, what I've been recording about is this, when I feel safe in a relationship, my ability to kind of stand up for myself, or maybe like to kind of say something like, that really hurt my feelings, or what you said wasn't okay, or actually I don't want to do that, I want to do this other thing, and feel that with the people that I feel the most safe with, or that I'm in close relationship with, most people think I'm a very outspoken, and I am. I have a strong personality, I have strong opinions, and I'm really outspoken. But where I've been looking and bothered with is certain relationships where I really want to be able to express myself and the strong opinions I have, but I don't. And then I get beat up for not saying those things afterwards. And where I got to with the recording and listening is in these particular situations I'm looking at, I don't feel, I'm afraid of what will happen if I say those things. Like the person will take them the wrong way, I'll be misunderstood, it will cause someone to be angry, which could lead to something else. So in a relationship, I'm safe. Even if it made the person angry, I feel safe enough to know that it doesn't mean it's the end of our relationship or the end of our friendship. Mm-hmm. Like, that's fine that you're, you know, angry.
Right.
I think
it's okay. We get upset.
Yeah. And it's kind of mm-hmm. how you've talked before about in when you first start, like, dating someone romantically, it's, like, a huge deal when you get in a fight or you have a disagreement about something. It's the end of the world. And then after years, it's like, yeah, whatever. Like, we'll mm-hmm. get through this.
Mm-hmm.
But again,
yeah, that, the level of trust that builds.
Right. So it's mm-hmm. trying to figure out, and I think in the description for this month's focus, it talks about you project that onto the other person. Like, I'm not this way with these other people, but with you, I'm afraid. And with you, I won't speak up for what I won't say what I wish I could say, or share in the way I'd like to share. And then I project that onto the other person, versus kind of owning it for myself. But also I feel I'm kind of struggling to move past that because it is fear that's holding me back in that space.
And Kate, do you see a common thread? I mean, is it, do you have that come up, say, with an authority, if it's a boss, or, you know, it's somebody that you want something from versus relationships where you feel complete in what you each bring to the relationship? Is there
a theme? I think the theme between there's two particular individuals who this I have a regular experience of this happening with, and it's not about kind of my authority relationship. One's a family member and one's a friend, but I think it's a fear of anger, or I mean, they're both people who get angry. They're both people who have really strong opinions, and they're both people Ooh. Who are not going to change, like, their stance based on what you say, which is, I think, fine. But maybe it's maybe a fear of it producing anger, and so uh-huh. I just shut down and don't say anything
uh-huh.
because it's not worth Wait. It for like to do it. And then later on, I'm really mad at myself. That's like, well, now you're in this situation because you didn't. It's your fault you're here because you didn't speak up and say something, and
yeah,
you
and
did.
Of course, you know that's not you doing that. That's the same voice that talks you into not saying anything beats you up for not saying anything, right?
Right.
And so, so you have skills, right? And what I hear in this is that you're being talked into kind of a blanket approach rather than you know how to be present, right? You know how to be mm-hmm. in a situation and say something like, you know, there's something I want to say, but I'm afraid it's going to tick you off.
Mm.
Yeah. Or you realize that these kinds of situations come up, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I'm going to pick a little one. You know, I'm going to say what's going on with me in a relatively small stakes situation and just watch what happens. To take it
yeah.
on as a workshop rather than having it left in that sort of global space that self-hate and ego like to keep things in for us. You know, that person is like that. You can't because they will. And
yeah.
And it's probably not like that.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'm seeing in that idea of a blanket approach, like the other layer on this that comes up is, you're a very strong person with very strong opinions and very vocal. And that is used to beat me up in the occasions that I don't meet that, like, personality I'm supposed to be. And also mm-hmm. that personality doesn't work well in these relationships. So it's like, you know, there's a whole story of you can't be yourself, but really that's just like, you know, what I'm seeing in this discussion is it's not about being myself. It's about being intelligent about where I can
That's right.
I can act in those ways, and where, like, acting in those ways is not helpful for anyone in that situation.
Yes, yes. And one final point, because I know we're at that time, but one final point that I'd ask you to consider is that it sounds as if this fear reaction comes up with people who are pretty much like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
no, yeah.
You know, you would not want somebody not to be themselves for fear of your strong personality and strong opinions and willingness to express those. You know, you want people to say how they feel and be who they are, and because that's intimacy, right? And then when somebody is like you, there's a very different reaction that comes up. So that, I find that kind of interesting.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Thank you.
Place to look.
I will definitely look there.
All
thank
right.
you, everyone. Thanks,
well,
Bianca.
Thank you. Lovely having you with us.
Okay. Talk soon. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kate and Sherry. That brings us to the end of another show. Our assignment for today: we're conditioned to be a human sacrifice. We're sacrificed to maintain karma. Example: always pleasing another person in order not to hurt their feelings or make them unhappy prevents me from having and doing the things that make me happy.
Oh,
assignment.
Boy.
What if you is sacrificed when the karma is chosen? Record and listen to what you see.
This assignment is for all of us, but especially for our most recent Kate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's that conversation. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini, and thank you, everybody. It's today's Friday. So have
right.
a lovely weekend, okay. And if all goes well, see you on Monday.
Go happy. Thanks, Sherry.
Go happy. Thank you.